Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, September 20th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. We're picking up in Joshua chapter 12, and this chapter is a summary of the first half of the book of Joshua. It's going to list kings and nations that are conquered by Joshua, both to the east and to the west of the Jordan River. And you may notice, if you have your copy of Scripture open, that beside each king that was defeated, there is a word one beside him. So it's basically just a count of all the kings that were defeated by the Israelites. So as I read, I'm not going to read that one after each king, just because it will get a little monotonous. Okay, let's start with verse 1. These are the kings of the land whom the Israelites had defeated and whose territory they took over east of the Jordan, from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon, including all the eastern side of the Arabah. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, he ruled from Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, from the middle of the gorge to the Jabbok River, which is the border of the Ammonites. This included half of Gilead. He also ruled over the eastern Arabah from the Sea of Kinnereth to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, to Beth Jeshimoth, and then southward below the slopes of Pisgah, and the territory of Og, king of Bashan, one of the last of the Rephaites who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. He ruled over Mount Hermon, Saleak, all of Bashan to the border of the people of Geshur and Makkah, and half of Gilead to the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the Israelites conquered them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave their land to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to be their possession. These are the kings of the land that Joshua and the Israelites conquered on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir. Their lands Joshua gave as an inheritance to the tribes of Israel, according to their tribal divisions: the hill country, the western foothills, the Arabah, the mountain slopes, the desert, and the Negev, the lands of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Okay, just a note here, this is where the one comes after the name of each king. The king of Jericho, the king of Ai near Bethel, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, the king of Gezer, the king of Debir, the king of Gedor, the king of Hormah, the king of Arad, the king of Libna, the king of Adullam, the king of Makeda, the king of Bethel, the king of Tapua, the king of Hefer, the king of Aphek, the king of Lasharon, the king of Madon, the king of Hazor, the king of Shimron Meron, the king of Akshaf, the king of Tanakh, the king of Megiddo, the king of Kedesh, the king of Jokneam in Carmel, the king of Dor in Nephoth Dor, the king of Goyim in Gilgal, the king of Tirzah, 31 kings in all. Now let's move on over to the Psalms. We're in an awesome part of the Psalms, which is called the Egyptian Hallel. Now we need to do some backing up there. What does the word Hallel mean? It means to praise. And then why would it be called the Egyptian Hallel? Well, this is the idea that these Psalms, Psalm 113 through 118, were sung in connection with the Passover meal and other Hebrew festivals. And this reflected upon God's redemption of the people, particularly when they were in bondage in Egypt. I'm reading in notes in my study Bible here, and it says that Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the meal, that is, before the second cup was passed. And then Psalm 115 through 118 were sung after the meal. Another note on this psalm on the next page is that this psalm is one of the most exquisitely fashioned songs of the Psalter, and it is a hymnic celebration of the Exodus. The first two stanzas recall the great events of the Exodus, and the last two celebrate their continuing significance. Psalm 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from the people of a foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, O sea, that you fled, O Jordan, that you turned back? You mountains, that you skipped like rams, you hills like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. Now, as is our daily rhythm, let's move over to the New Testament. We're in Matthew chapter 10. We'll begin with verse 26, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. That's verse 42. And you'll remember that this is in the section of Scripture where Jesus is sending out his disciples, and he is warning them in the midst of persecution how to behave. Verse 26. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. This is kind of a difficult passage because we think of Jesus as being the Prince of Peace, the one who has left peace with us, the one who wants us to have peace with God and peace with others. But here it says that Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but the sword. But there's this note in my study Bible that reminds me that there's this inevitable result of Christ coming, and it is conflict. Not conflict necessarily between us and the Lord, but conflict between Christ and the Antichrist, between light and darkness, between Christ's children and the devil's children. And this conflict can occur even between members of the same family. And so the Lord is telling us that we must have one singular purpose in life, and that is to follow Him. That's why He follows up by saying, take up your cross. This first mention of the cross in Matthew's gospel is a reminder of the cross being an instrument of death, and it symbolizes the necessity of total commitment, even to the point of death, on the part of Jesus's disciples. As we pray today, I want us just to turn in appreciation to the Lord for going to the cross for us, and also to ask the Lord for hearts that are ready to serve Him. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the reminders of Your faithfulness to the Israelites when they were dependent upon You and obedient to You. We thank You for the psalm, which reminds us that You defeated the Egyptians and You did powerful things. You subdued nature so that the Israelites could walk across the Red Sea and the Jordan. You allowed water to come out of a rock. You are amazing. We pray, Lord, thanking You for Your word in Matthew and for the call of discipleship. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to have one singular purpose, and that is to follow You. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be totally committed to You and Your mission. And we thank You, Lord, that when we are not totally on board, You do not give up on Your covenant love for us. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder in the New City Catechism that we belong to You. And we praise You, Father. We want to end our time together just rejoicing in Your love and Your grace. And we pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.